Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. And as you are looking at this Wednesday broadcast and as you're tuning in today, I want to thank you for being our listener. Thank you for supporting this ministry. This is a ministry of our church, and I want to let you know that if you're looking for a church home, you live in the Greater Hampton Roads area, we would love to have you come and worship with us. Every Sunday, we do two services, one at 9 o'clock and one at 10:30. For now, the 9 o'clock is the drive-in service, and you don't have to get out of your car. You just pull into the parking lot, and we are set in the back. We have a sound system set up. We got everything ready to go for you. The 10:30 service is inside. If you'd like to come in, and where it's a little cooler, and you can enjoy the service inside, we'd love to have you come worship with us every Sunday, 9 or 10:30. Well, today we're going through and continuing on our series called Living Large, Big Faith, and I want to talk to you about the fact that big faith presses on. Now, have you ever been in a hurry when you discovered that God is not? You know, one of the most difficult things in life is to sit in God's waiting room. God's waiting room is when there's something beyond your control that you can't speed up. Maybe it's an answer to prayer or a miracle or a change in your situation. You want it to change, but it is totally out of your control, and you have to just wait on God. Just trust Him. Those are difficult times. You know, the spring of 1924, Jack Sundin was a four-year-old kid standing in line with his father inside of the White House waiting to meet President Calvin Coolidge. As they neared him, Jack noticed that he said something to each visitor as they shook hands. Soon the thrilling moment arrived. Jack put his small hand into the president's. Then the president said words Jack will always remember. Just two words, move along. In contrast, aren't you glad that when you come to God, He doesn't just tell us to move along. No, He is personally involved in our lives, and He desires to hear from us. Well, I want to read Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 20, and talk about the fact that as we look at pressing on, God even gives us the capacity to press on. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. What a fascinating understanding of the life of Abraham. He had a promise that was given to him. It was delayed. It was a promise that goes against all natural hope, but we see that Abraham never lost his hope in God. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he is doing. So how am I supposed to keep pressing on while I'm waiting on God? Well, I think you've got to understand there's steps that are in our lives if we're going to be living large in our faith. And I'm going to use Abraham as an illustration of this. Now, I'm not saying you could be Abraham, but I think we can learn some things about faith through how Abraham operated under faith. Step number one is that there's this big dream that is given. As a matter of fact, as a follower of Christ, your big dream ought to be a God-ordained dream. Abraham's 75 years old, and God says, I will make you into a great nation. So this wasn't Abraham saying, I'm going to be the father of a great nation. This was God speaking to Abraham and saying, you're going to become a great nation. So the first phase of faith is when God gives you a dream. He gives you an idea, he gives you an ambition, he gives you a goal. Now, God's dream for your life will always be a dream that brings glory back to him. And the way this happens is he gives you a dream that is beyond your ability. As a matter of fact, if you can do something on your own strength, why do you need a vision from God? You can just do it on your own strength. Abraham is 75 years old, and so this promise that God has given to Abraham, this dream is something that is going against natural wisdom. Step number two. Not only do you have a big dream, but step number two is you've got to make a decision. Genesis 12:4, as we go back to the story of Abraham, we see that Abraham left as the Lord had told him. You know, a decision is when you decide to act on that dream. A dream without a decision is worthless. And every dream of God has a risk involved in it. It has a part where you have to take a step of faith. Abraham had to leave his existing homeland and go to a place that he never knew. He was going to a place that he'd never been before. He's taking a big risk here. You see, when God gives you a dream, he says, this is what I want you to do with your life. There's going to come to a point when you have to make that decision and you have to say, okay, God, I'm going to go after the dream that you have for my life, not my own dream. I'm going to follow your dream. Now, once you've done that, you move into phase three. So we said step number one is a dream. Step number two is a decision. Step number three is delay. We discover from Genesis 12 to Genesis chapter 16, Abraham now has advanced in age, and he is now at the age where he is 86. He's given this promise when he was 75. Now he's 86, but Sarah had not borne him any children, Genesis 16:1. You see, a dream is never fulfilled instantly. When God gives you an idea of what he wants to do with your life, it comes with a delay. There's always that delay. You see, he wants to build you up in those times of delay. 11 years after God gave Abraham his dream, Abraham still didn't have a child. What happened in those 11 years? The answer is nothing. He's just waiting on God. He's tempted to doubt, tempted to despair, tempted to take some detours, but God says, hang in there. The dream is going to come to fruition. God says, you're waiting, and this dream that I have for you, it's going to take place. Just hang in there. Well, step number four is difficulty. We go to Genesis chapter 17 and 18, and now we see that Abraham's at 86. Now he's 99 years old. Genesis 17 begins with, how can a son be born to a man at my age? Now, I can imagine Abraham starting to doubt just a little bit. He says, man, you gave me this promise when I was 75. Now, that's kind of a big miracle right there. But here it is 24 years later. I'm 99 years old. And so we see this difficulty. You see, God not only lets you wait for a while, but while you wait, he lets you have some problems. Isn't that fun? So you go through the stage of difficulty where you go from things being bad to things getting even worse, now to the point where things are really impossible. 99 years old, and you're going to have a son? And my wife is 89 years old? And he says, how can I be having a son to me, a man of my age? Well, there's another step that takes place. Step number five is dead end. We go to Genesis chapter 21. And we discover that God came through and Sarah gave birth at 90 years old and Isaac is born. Now, the name Isaac actually means laughter because they laughed at the thought of having a child in their old age. Now, any woman who believed God and was 90 years old going to have a baby, and I can understand that doubt and I can understand what they're going through, but God provides them with this miracle baby and now they're praising God for it. But the most difficult phase of all is taking place. I remember the promise was that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. He was going to be the father of a great nation. Isaac was going to carry on that tradition. God was going to fulfill that promise through Isaac. But now we see Genesis 21, there's a dead end. God says to Abraham, take your son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. You talk about a dead end. God allows your dream sometimes to seemingly die. Abraham was asked to give up this miracle child. God says, I want you to sacrifice him. Give him back to me. Now get this. Abraham waits 100 years and has a baby. The baby starts to grow up. By the way, now I want you to give him back to me, God says. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now Abraham's thinking, well, what kind of God is this? Is this a cruel joke? He's asking me to sacrifice the very dream child that he promised to give to me? And he's feeling hopeless. How do you feel when you're at a dead end? You feel hopeless. Some of you may be feeling that way right now with your marriage. Some of you are at a dead end and you're looking at your marriage and say, there's no hope for this relationship. Maybe some of you feel that way about your friendships. Maybe some of you are feeling that way about your job. And you're saying, why is this happening to me? Everything seems out of control. Well, congratulations. God is getting you ready. He is preparing you for the final phase of faith, which is deliverance. God says to Abraham, don't hurt the boy. I have provided a lamb. I have provided a lamb that's going to take the place of your son. Well, you know, we just recently celebrated the reminder of 9/11. You know, on September 11th in 2001, just past 9 a.m., a man by the name of Stanley, who is a vice president of the Fuji Bank, was in his office on the South Tower of the World Trade Center when his phone rang. On the other end, a woman asked, "Are you watching the news?" Calling from the Chicago office, "Are you all right?" "I'm fine," he said, wondering why she had called. Just then he turned to gaze out the window at the Statue of Liberty, as had been his routine. The surreal sight of a low-flying commercial jet headed straight for his tower disrupted his view. He dropped the phone in mid-sentence and dove to the floor. Curling under his desk, he began praying to God, "Lord, help me!" He prayed desperately as the aircraft smashed into the tower. He said the smell of jet fuel in the air, the equipment surrounded all around him, rubble covering the floor, dust in the air. He began clawing across mounds of debris. "Lord, I have to go home to be with my family," he wheezed. "I have to see my daughters." Just then he saw a light. "I am here to help you," he thought. "This is my guardian angel." The Lord sent somebody to help him, a guardian angel by the name of Brian Clark, a Christian who is an executive three floors below. The two miraculously climbed out of the rubble to safety. Stanley stated, "My Lord has some unfinished task for me. I took the tattered clothes I was wearing that day, put them in a box, and wrote on that box, deliverance. All over that box, I wrote deliverance. I told my wife, if I ever get spiritually cold, I want you to bring me this box and open it up and show me what the Lord brought me through. Oh, I want you to know, my friends, God brings about deliverance. You may feel like your life is hopeless. You may feel like you're at a dead end. God will bring deliverance. He loves to take the ashes of disaster and turn them into success. Well, we've got to understand the steps of faith, but we also remember what God can do. You see, a miracle is happening in the life of Abraham. Either God's going to give life to something that was dead, or he's going to create something out of nothing. That's what a miracle is. Think about that in your life. That's only what God can do. He can give life to a dead career. He can give life to a dead marriage. He can bring about dead dreams and bring them back to life. He can take your finances that are dead and he can bring back life to them. God can bring something out of nothing. Jesus said, anything is possible if you have faith. Now notice something very important. What did Abraham put his faith in? What did he believe in? Did he believe in himself? No. He believed in his feelings? No. Did he put his faith in faith? No. Did he practice positive thinking? Well, no. He believed in God. Now, I believe in positive thinking, but positive thinking and faith are not the same thing. You hear these songs about positive thinking like, "I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows." Well, that's baloney. If every drop of rain produced a flower, the world would be covered with flowers. We'd be tiptoeing through the tulips, and that's just not true. You see, positive thinking works only in one situation. It works in situations where I have control over that situation. For instance, if you believe you're going to do a good job at something, you'll probably do a better job than if you don't believe you're going to do a good job. But positive thinking is worthless in things that are out of your control. You can say, "I hope my mom is going to live," but that's not going to change anything. You can say, "I hope he doesn't get hurt in that accident," but that isn't going to stop him from getting hurt. "I hope my team wins. I hope I get a job." These are just wishful thinking. Positive thinking is worthless in situations that are out of my control, especially when you come to the end of life. When you come to a dead end, you need more than just a happy thought. You need faith in God. You see, the only thing that changes the circumstances is faith in God. Faith in God works when things are out of your control. And most of life is out of our control. So we need faith in God far more than we need to be happy, far more than we need to have positive and uplifting thoughts. All these are good, but they're not good enough. You see, when you get to a dead end, you need to remember what God can do. Romans 4:17, Abraham believed in God, who gives life to the dead and who creates something out of nothing. Luke 18:27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Well, here's my third point today on the broadcast. You've got to know the steps of faith, and we talked about that, how you go through those times of delay, and you eventually end up with a dead end. You got to know what God is doing, and you got to rely on his promises. When hope was dead, Abraham went on hoping in faith. He relied on the word of God. Have you ever felt like your life is dead? Maybe hope is dying inside of you? How do you know when hope is dying inside of you? You start using this word, never. You know, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have a baby. I'm never going to be happy again. I'm never going to change. We're never going to have a president that I vote for. Hope dies within you. What do you do when hope starts to die within you? You go on vacation. Well, no. Notice what you do. When hope was dead within him, Abraham went on hoping in faith. In other words, his hope was dead within him. He looked at that situation from his perspective and says, this is hopeless. All hope is gone. Hope is dead. What does he do? He transitions from hope in himself to hope in faith in God. You see, this isn't just wishful thinking. This isn't just positive thinking. This is hoping in faith. Faith in God. You keep on believing. How do you keep on believing when you feel like doubting? When you feel like giving up? It says there that he relied on God's word. And nothing is more reliable. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, everything is possible. Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You see, when you get the promises of God in your life, you will be able to hope in faith rather than giving up. Hebrews 11:17 says, while God was testing him, Abraham still trusted in God and his promises, so he offered his son Isaac. You see, when you come to a dead end, rely on the promises of God. Well, God was testing him, and that's what the waiting room is. That's the waiting room is the test. That waiting time, this is a test. Isaac grows up, and God says, I want you to give him back to me. I want you to sacrifice him to me. But Abraham didn't panic. Now, I would have, but Abraham didn't panic. God says, give me your son back. Sacrifice him to me. But he didn't panic for three reasons, and the Bible tells us why he didn't panic. Number one, I think that Abraham believed that God was going to raise up his son from the dead. Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. There's a second reason he didn't panic. Not only did he believe that God could raise him from the dead, but he believed that he was going to have a servant, and they were going to be on that hill to be sacrificed. And he says to the servants, as they're going up to the hill, I'll be back. Now, that little phrase, I'll be back, is a catchphrase associated with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. He fully intended the son to come back with him. He had faith to believe that God was going to work out a miracle. There's a third reason why he didn't panic. When his little son Isaac was walking up that hill with him, and he says, Daddy, where's the lamb we're going to sacrifice? Abraham says, the Lord will provide. You see, he understands that God was going to step in there and provide at just the right moment. You know, I want you to know God will do the same thing for you. He will step in and provide for you at just the right moment. He is never early. He's never late. He's always just on time. Now, maybe you're listening to broadcast today, and as you're listening to the broadcast, it says, you know, my life is out of control. And I want to pause for just a moment, and I want you to look at your life from an eternal perspective. You know, life is very brief. James reminds us of the fact that life is very brief. James tells us that life is like this vapor of steam. Maybe you're boiling water, and you see that steam come off that top of that water, and it's very short-lived. Life is brief. Not only is life brief, but life is also uncertain. If you were to ask me 30 years ago what I would be doing with my life, I don't think I would say, well, I'm going to be on the radio, and I'm going to be pastoring a church, and I'm going to be... None of those things were on my radar. Life is uncertain. There's some things in your life that come into your life that you don't expect. Some of them are good things. Some of them are bad things. I'm so blessed with a wife that loves me and a wife that loves the Lord, and we work together well and we minister together well. And it's been great to see God bless us with five children. And you think about how life is uncertain, and one of the uncertain things of life is that we never anticipated that God would allow us to have a miscarriage and that God would allow us to have a son that has autism. These are things that we didn't plan in life. These are things that we didn't expect in life. Life is so uncertain. As you go through this path of life, you're going to meet people that you didn't think you would meet. You're going to have opportunities that you didn't think you were going to have, but you're also going to have some heartbreaks in life that you didn't anticipate. You know, the ministry that I have with inmates, is oftentimes I talk to the guys at Indian Creek Correctional Center. One of the things I'll ask them is, did you plan on coming to prison? Was this part of your life's goals? And was this on your bucket list? You know, I've never met an inmate who says, you know, when I was just a youngster, I had a dream that I'd end up in prison. I'd had a dream that I'd be incarcerated. No, they never had that as a dream, but that's what happened in their lives. God slowed them down. God got their attention in a way that they didn't really expect God to get their attention. And that's often how God works. You know, somebody said, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, you know, God whispers to us in our times of pleasure, but he shouts to us in our times of pain. It's those painful moments that you learn more about who God is, and you learn more about his provision. You learn about the fact that he's going to take care of all of your needs. That's how God works. You know, in a couple weeks on the broadcast, I'm going to have a testimony of a man who, by all accounts, should be not with us right now. He had a massive heart attack, and it not only affected his heart, but it blew out the aorta of his heart. He was a walking dead man. And when this event happened, he had the wherewithal to go to call his wife. And his wife says, well, you need to go immediately to the doctor. And he was able to go to the doctor. And the doctor says, how in the world are you standing? You have an aorta that's blown out. You had a heart attack. You should be dead right now. And he says, I don't understand how I am walking. But he was walking because God was not finished with him yet. God had a bigger purpose for his life. You know, sometimes God does that to us. He'll drive us to the brink of disaster only to say, I'm going to step in. I'm not done with you. You know, you want to live your life long enough so that you fulfill everything that God wants you to fulfill. It was said of David when David passed that he completed all the purposes that God had for him and his generation, and then God took him home. As I think about the life of Abraham, Abraham faltered, Abraham failed, but he trusted God. Abraham did some things that was very disappointing. You know, one of the reasons that I know that the Bible is the Word of God is because the Bible records the good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell you, if I was writing the Bible, I would have left some of those stories in the Bible out. I would have left the story about Abraham lying about his wife, saying she's my sister, so that he would not be harmed. I probably would have left that part out. I think if I was writing the Bible, I would have left the story of David and Bathsheba. I would have left that out, especially the part where David puts Uriah on the front lines and Uriah is killed in the battle. I would have left that part out, but God puts it all in there. I would have left out the part where Moses got ticked off at God. Instead of speaking to the rock so the rock could bring about water, he smacks it in anger. I would have left that part out, definitely. I would have left that part out of the Bible. I would have left a lot of things out of the Bible because the stories in the Bible don't often depict positive things about those people it's referring to. You see, the only person who lived a sinless life was Jesus himself. All glory belongs to him. I want you to know that God can take the bad things in your life and he can turn them about for good. The most often used verse in the Bible that we use when bad things happen, we say, all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. As you think about that verse, not all things are good. There's a lot of bad things happening in our world today, but all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Well, I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you and a blessing to you today. I want to remind you as we wrap up our broadcast that we are trying to raise just a little bit of money to help build a church in Nigeria. And if you are interested in helping us with this, we have a matching gift and we've got to raise $23,000 to get this building built in Nigeria Pastor Friday is going to be expecting some help, and we told him we'd help him. And we've got John Cash, who has matched whatever we give, up to $11,500. So we've got to raise $23,000 total, but half of that is matching. So if you'd like to have part of this, I'm going to encourage you to write a check to Hickory Ridge Community Church, and on a memo line, just put Pastor Friday. Or you can go online and do your giving, and that would be hrcc7.org. If you Google in Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, it'll come up. You just click the giving online, and as you give online, just note that it's for Pastor Friday, and everything that comes in for Pastor Friday will go directly toward this building of this church building in Nigeria. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.